As the day wanes, soon people will be back. Music, showers and shaving, steak and shawarma. People are thinking it's soon going to be over. But is it over? Do we have a Beis HaMikdash? No, we don't. The restrictions might be over, but we still, after Tisha B'Av, have to cry, have to mourn, have to yearn. In general, we're very complacent about our Yiddishkeit. We feel we live in Torah communities in Muncie, Lakewood, Brooklyn. Kashrus, Shabbos, people keeping mitzvahs. There's a lot of chesed being done. But is it so rosy as it seems? There was a young man who once came to the Chazon Ish, and he said, I just learned a Masechta, can you test me? And the Chazon Ish said, sure. And he tested him on the Masechta. The Chazon Ish said to him, yeah, you knew it pretty well. But Chazal say, when you're tested on something, al tegamgem, you shouldn't stutter or stammer at all. Ela emor lo miyad, you have to be able to answer right away. And you have to stammer a little bit, learn it again. The boy went and he learned it again. Chazon Ish tested him and he said, yeah, it was better. You weren't megamgem, you didn't stammer. But it wasn't emor lo, I couldn't call it saying it. Learn it again. He learned it again. He said, yeah, it was better. You weren't megamgem, and it was emor lo, you said it. But it says emor lo miyad. There were times you hesitated. Learn it again. He learned it again, and this time he knew it fluently. We have to be able to answer when we're having tests fluently. Miyad, right away. In life, we go through many tests. Start as a little kid. In high school, have regents. And then later on in life, people take smicha, dirishu tests, CPA, the bar, all different tests in life that people have. But there's one test that every one of us will share. And that is a test after 120 years. We'll stand before the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's going to be a court case. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us some of the questions we're going to be asked. Question number 4. Tzipisa LeYeshua. Were you waiting for salvation? How are we going to answer that question? Are we really waiting? Are we truly waiting? We might be saying in Ani Mamid, B'chol Yoyim Achakeloi, I'm waiting for Mashiach. But is it real? How are we going to answer? Are we going to begamgem, hesitate? Or is it going to be Emor Lo Miyad? We're going to answer right away. What are we supposed to do? Well, first of all, the Pasuk says, the beginning of Pekudei, Eilei Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. It says twice the word Mishkan. Chazal understand from that. The word Mishkan is a lashon of mashkan, a lashon of collateral. Lefishin is mashkan shnei pa'amim. The Beis HaMikdash was taken away twice as a mashkan, as collateral. We have to understand what that means. It was taken as collateral. It was taken away for good. That's not collateral. Collateral is with a loan until you get the loan back. Some Farshim explain, which I think Isaiah says this, is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was only the outer trappings, the bricks, the mortar, the building was gone. But the ruchnias, the spirituality of the Beis HaMikdash, that went up to Shemayim, ready to come back again. So the Mishnah, the Beis HaMikdash, is a mashkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding on to it. If it's a mashkan, there's rules by a mashkan. One of the rules, the Pasuk says in Kisavoy, is certain things you cannot take for a mashkan. Ki nefesh hu chayvel. You're taking the soul of the person as a mashkan. You can't do that. There's another pasuk that says, ki yitzak elai. If a person cries out, you're taking my mashkan, he needs it. V'shamati, I'll listen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you taking a mashkan of somebody's when it's his nefesh. So if Klal Yisrael would feel that the Beis HaMikdash is our nefesh, we need it back so much. Ki nefesh hu chayvel. He's taking our soul away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to return that mashkan. It is so important that we're waiting so much that we feel it's our nefesh at stake. There's a story with a Beis HaLevi that when a delegation came to ask him to be Rav in their town, he said he'd already been the Rav in Slutsk and it's enough already. He's not interested in Rabbonis. They said to him, there's 30,000 people waiting for you to be Rav. He said, 30,000 waiting, quickly, get me my kapota, I have to go. The Chofetz Chaim would say over this story. And he said, if Mashiach would see that Klal Yisrael are all waiting for him, if the Beis Halevi went running when he saw people waiting, imagine how Mashiach would come running if all of us would be waiting like that. So we have to work on this waiting. What do we do about it? The Chofetz Chaim says, it's not good enough just to peacefully sure to be waiting. You have to do something about it. Why is it that he says you have to do something about it? I would think, because when there's something important to you, when somebody doesn't have a job, when somebody needs a shidduch for their child, when somebody has a health problem, they don't sit around. They look in the classifieds for the job. For a doctor, they'll get a second opinion. They don't pick a doctor from the yellow pages. They'll speak to people. A shidduch, they'll go to shadchanim. They'll do what's necessary to do. Why? Because they care about it. Something you care about, you do something about it. So if you want to be mekayem to peacefully Yeshua, you have to do something. Otherwise, it's just lip service. What can we do about it? I would like to give three suggestions in what we can do about it. We want Geula. Why? Because we want the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we want the Beis HaMikdash? To be able to do the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. We cannot do the Avoida at this moment. Because of our sins, we're in Golus. We cannot fulfill our obligations in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'd like to be able to do that Avoida. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want that Avoida? I'm giving you a substitute at the moment. You have Tefillah. The Gemara in Bracha says, Tefillah b'makom korban. Tefillah is in the place of a korban. As we say in the Karbonos, Neshalma Purim Sfaseinu. Let our lips substitute for the bulls. We have to fill in the place of the Avoida. So if we want the real Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, we have to daven to the best of our ability. Then we have the right to ask for the Beis HaMikdash. But how can we complain we're missing the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash if we don't care about the present Avoida? And that means, first of all, we have to treat a shul the same way as you treat a Beis HaMikdash. Not talking. And then, of course, punctuality. There's certain basic rules. But more than that. More than that is the Beis HaMikdash was Dveikus Bashem. Attachment, a connection, a cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so too is Tefillah. Is to connect through Tefillah. As the Pasuk says in this week's parasha, Ki mi goy godoil ashloi alekim kroiv meilov. In that pasuk we see that tefillah is a scarabus, gets us close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We see that the Mois were all barren. They were akoris. Why were they barren? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misaveh, desired the tefillos and their tefillos. What does that mean? Sora, Rivka, and Rachel didn't daven. You can be sure they davened. Rachel, after all, was a Beis Yaakov Meidel. For sure she davened. But all of them davened. You can be sure they davened with Kavana as well. So what does it mean he wants their tefillahs? Because when a person has a tzora, it doesn't matter who it is, even the Mois themselves, the tefillahs, there's more passion in the tefillah, more argosha, more feeling in the tefillah, even by the Mois. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants tefillah with leiv. Tefillah is called Navoida Sheba Leiv. We see this in the Pasuk as well. The Pasuk says, when Klai Yisrael is standing by the Yamsuf, or Paroi Hikriv. Paroi came close. And the Medrash tells us, the word Hikriv is not correct. It should say Paroi Korav. Paroi came close. Says the Medrash, Moshul Ma'adov Adoyim. There's a Moshul. There was a king who hears the cries of a girl in the forest. He goes and saves that girl. And then afterwards, he wants to speak to the girl. The girl refuses to speak to him. And so he lets the bandits capture her again. Again she cries out. He goes to save her. And he tells her, I wanted to hear your voice again. When Klai Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Klai Yisrael were crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then they left. It was over. It wasn't the same, the Tfilis, anymore. Oh, Paroi Hikriv. Paroi came close, they're standing at the Yamsuf. You can imagine Klai Yisrael, says the Medrash, Toluid, Toluid, Einehem, Bamorim. They looked up to Shemayim and they started davening again. Now, this doesn't mean that a person can only get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tzoras. It can also be through gifts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bestow gifts and then a person can get close through gratitude, through appreciation. But then, if a person doesn't appreciate the gifts, Hashem can take away to get noticed. There's a story of a person who had no children of his own, but he had a nephew that he was very close with. And he spent a lot of time with this nephew. And one day, this nephew decided to learn in Eretz Yisrael, in yeshiva. The uncle was very heartbroken about it. He wouldn't be able to speak to him as often. So he told his nephew, "I understand it's your best. Of course I want you to go. But please, I beg of you, write to me." And the nephew says, "What are you talking about? I'll write to you every day." He says, "Thank you so much." The nephew leaves. The next day, the uncle writes a letter to his nephew how much is missing him, and waiting for a reply from his nephew. A week goes by, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then the nephew receives a letter from his uncle. And it says, "Dear Shloimi, how do you like the yeshiva? What's the food like? Do you have good chavrusas? Love, your uncle. P.S. Find enclosed $250. A week later, the uncle gets his reply that he's waiting for. "Dear uncle, I love the yeshiva. The food is lousy. I have great chavrusas. Love, Shloimi. P.S. You forgot to enclose the $250. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes can forget to enclose the money, and then we remember, notice, the Ribbono Shloilam. But it's not possible to daven an avodah shebelev, to put your heart in, without effort. The Chofetz Chaim once asked Rav Shimon Schwab that we know the mon could taste whatever tam you wanted, any taste you wanted, you could feel. What happens if you didn't think at all? What taste would it have? And the Chofetz Chaim then told him the answer. If you don't think, it has no taste. The mon was ruchnius. And anything ruchnius, anything spiritual, you have to put in effort. You have to put in effort to get the inspiration from it. We have to work on kavona. Kavona creates dveikus. And then we have the right to ask Hashem to get to the next level. The level of having the actual avodah. This leads us to the second way that we can show that we're to peace Yeshua, we're waiting for salvation. The Beis Hamikdash was dveikus, we said, dveikus to Hashem, an attachment, a closeness, a cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was Ashroas HaShchinah. When there was a Beis Hamikdash, we were so close to Hashem. But now in Golus, we have another way to show how much we desire this dveikus. The Maaseh Yesharim writes in Perek Aleph, Ki hashlimus ha'amiti, true perfection, hu rak hadveikus bo yisparach, is by attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is what David HaMelech said, Va'ani kirvas elekim li toiv. Getting close to Hashem, that is goodness. And then the Maaseh Yesharim goes on to say, how does a person get this? L'toiv ha'zois, this goodness. He says you have to be yamel, be shtadl, be a gioi. You have to make effort to acquire it. It takes labor and effort to be able to get this dveikus b'Hashem. How do you do it? V'koyach maisim, with deeds. V'heim, heim, ha-mitzvahs. They are the mitzvahs we do. Mitzvahs bring dveikus b'Hashem. And the word mitzvah itself is the Aramaic word tzavsa, to accompany, to attach yourself. How do we get close with mitzvahs? There's only one way, and as we appreciate, we feel the value, we understand the value, we care about the mitzvahs. In the old days, in the previous generations, it was much easier to see that attachment, much harder today. Somebody was saying over, 70 years ago, he was in Siberia, how difficult it was to get Arbaminim. It was impossible. And each year they were able to get together the Hadassim and the Arovis. On rare occasions, they got a lulav. And he said they would make, without a bracha, they would shake the three minim. One year, he said, they got an esrog. And there were Rabbonim there, Choshvi Yidden there. And they got this Arba Mina, such excitement before Yontav. On the first day of Sukkot, 150 people lined up to shake. And he says, not one. Many people fainted after they shook the Arba Minim. Such joy, such excitement. It says in the Pasuk about mitzvahs, v'chai bohem. We live with them. They should give us our chias in life. Nothing gets us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no more dveikus than through a mitzvah. And this we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He divided the upper waters and the lower waters. The lower waters complained and they said, we want to be closer to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforted the waters, he said, there's going to be Nisach HaMayim. On Sukkot, they're going to pour for 1 week the water on the Mizbeach. And that with that, the waters were comforted. And we have to understand, why were they comforted? It's going to be another 2,500 years till there's a Mizbeach. For those 2,500 years, the upper waters are going to be in close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the low waters are not going to be anywhere near Hashem. And no mitzvahs at all. 2,500 years of waiting. And then what? 1 week a year, they'll pour the water in the Mizbeach. And that was enough of comfort for the low waters. Why is that? Because the water understood. There's nothing that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than mitzvahs. It spans all distances. And even if it's going to be thousands of years later, for a short period of time, it creates a greater intimacy than the physical proximity of the upper waters. Tzavsa, it attaches us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's no wonder then, Al Narois Bavel, when we sat at the rivers of Bavel, Shom Yoshavnu, we sat there, Gam Bochinu. And the bells are asked, Gam Bochinu, we also cried, what is the gum coming to include? And the bells are all explained. The waters were crying. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the waters lost their Kedusha. So we cried together with the waters. Gam Bochinu, we also cried with them. The Satmar Rav added to that, that we said in Eicha, Shivchi Kamayim Lebech, pour out your heart like water. What does that mean? What was the water crying about? The water cried, Ribbono Shel, we want to get closer to you. We want to be in close proximity to Hashem. What's the way we can do that? Through a Beis HaMikdash, through mitzvahs. Pour out your heart like water. Cry that you want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that you'll be Noichach Pnei Hashem. He'll bring us closer to Him. That is the chashivas of a mitzvah. Unbelievable chashivas. The Rambam writes about a mitzvah. He writes that a person is in this world and all he has to do is one mitzvah karoil, one mitzvah correctly. That he has no other kavana, no shaloi deshmoinit, totally deshem shemayim, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. And then he will be zeichah through that mitzvah to Olam Habo. And he said that is why we were given 613 mitzvahs. That a lot of mitzvahs we do, we cannot relate to them in the same way. We can't have those feelings, those argoshas. But everybody should be able to find one mitzvah they can connect with, and with that be zeichah to chai Olam Habo. We said this morning in the kinnas that when Rabbi Shmuel the Kohen Gadol, when he was taken to kill him, and they got to the place where he put on tefillin, the kinnas says, Rosha Poishet, Esagia Lamakam Tefillin, when he reached the place of tefillin, Tzoat Tzoaka, Rabbi Shmuel cried out, Nizazea Oilam, the whole world trembled, Va'aretz Espira, and it crumbled into little pieces. He thought of the mitzvah, the mokum where he did that mitzvah, and it's now going to be taken away from him. And we saw similarly, 70 years ago, there was also people like that. Rabbi Ephraim Oshry writes about a person. He was a Rav already at the time of the Holocaust. And a person came to him that had his left arm amputated by the Nazis for the crime of stealing potatoes. And he said no words could describe this man's anguish. Not only that he was now crippled, but also he could not be Mekayim in the mitzvah of tefillin. And he came to Rav Oshry crying bitterly. Could he put on the tefillin on his right arm? And Rav Oshry answered, I rule that even if someone else puts the tefillin on his right arm, he would be fulfilling the mitzvah. He rejoiced at the ruling as he walked out in good spirits. These are people who understood what it means, a mitzvah. We want the Beis Mikdash. We want to be able to do all the mitzvahs we'll have then. So we say in Davnik, Mipnei chato'enu, because of our sins. Golinu maratzenu and golos. Veina nachnu yecholim la'aseh chaviseinu. We cannot fulfill our obligations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can look down at us and say, you cannot fulfill your obligations? What about the obligations you can fulfill? What about all the mitzvahs you have today? Are you fulfilling those properly? You want to have all the mitzvahs and avoid in the Beis Mikdash. You want Shemitah and Yovel. You want Trumas and Maestras. You want Nisach and Mayim and Karbonas. You want all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. Show me now that you're mekayim those mitzvahs properly. Then we have the right to ask for more mitzvahs. Mitzapi lishua. Part of that is doing the mitzvahs correctly. But then we have the third. The third way we can show that we're waiting for salvation is probably the most obvious of all and connects to what we said previously. That the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. And Chazal tell us, kol dor shlo nivne b'yomov, any generation where the Beis HaMikdash not built in their days is ki'ilu nechrav b'yomov. It's as if it was destroyed in their days. The Chavetz Chaim says, if they needed money to build the Beis HaMikdash, if they needed donations, everybody would come running to donate. It wouldn't be a problem to get the money together. But that's not what's needed. What's needed is to get rid of the sinas chinam. The fact that the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt just proves that the baseless hatred is still among us. And the Mogen Avraham writes that a person before he davens shachris should mekabel on himself the mitzvah of ohavta l'reacha kamoicha. A person should mekabel Ahavas Yisrael, to love every Jew, before shachris. And the question we can ask on that is an obvious question. It would certainly make sense when a person finishes davening and he is now going to go to his chavrusa, he's going to his business, he's going to his family, he's going to be dealing with people. So before you leave the shul, be mekabel on yourself to love every Jew. But before shachris, why are we being mekabel before we daven Ahavas Yisrael? So according to what we said previously, we can answer very simply that the avodah that we do today is the avodah of tefillah. That's a replacement, a substitute for the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. What right do we have to come and do something similar to an avodah of the Beis HaMikdash if we're acting with sinas chinam? Before we have that right to stand and davening, make sure the mekabel Ahavas Yisrael, then you can stand and start doing the avodah. But we can add to it as well another pshat. There's a story of two brothers. One was rich and one was poor. And the poor brother was making a wedding. He couldn't get the money together. So he decided to go and ask his rich brother for help. He goes to his office. He tells the receptionist he'd like to speak to the president of the company. She said, "Who should I say is here?" He said, "Tell him his brother is here." She goes into him. And she tells the rich brother, "You know, your brother's here to see you." He says, "My brother? What would he want from me at business?" Then he thinks to himself and he says, "Oh, I know what. He's making a wedding. He wants money from me. Go tell him I don't have any brothers." So the receptionist goes and tells this to the man. You can imagine he was heartbroken. He goes home. On the way, stops off by his father. He tells his father the story. His father is very upset about it. And the next time, the rich brother comes to visit the father. He knocks at the door. The father opens. The father says to him, "Who are you?" He says, "Daddy, you know who I am." He says, "No, I don't recognize you." He says, "What are you talking about? You're not that old yet." He said, "I know who you are." He says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You see, I have a son. And my son said that you said you're not his brother. If you're not his brother, how could you be my son?" And the same thing comes in davening. We come before the Ribbono Shel Olam, we say to him, "Avinu, Ov HaRachmon." We refer to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, our Father in heaven. "Avinu Shebashamayim, Avinu Malkeinu." We come begging as a father. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us, "Is every Jew your brother?" If we want our Kodesh Baruch Hu to be our father, we have to make sure that every other Jew is our brother. Reb Shimon Shkop writes in his Hakdama to his Sefer, he writes that when somebody says "I," so in America, "I" in the American language is numero uno. It means number one, I, me, myself. That's what it refers to. However, he says, "I" doesn't have to mean myself. "I" could be expanded to include other peoples. Like the famous story of Barry Levine when he went with his wife to the doctor and he said to the doctor, "Our foot is hurting us." He had expanded his "I" to include his spouse. Some people include their family, their community. And then there's a level of including all of Klal Yisrael. That is why Hillel said in the Mishnah in Avos, Im ani la'atzmi, if my I only means myself, mo'ani, what am I? I'm worthless. Your I has to mean more than yourself. And that is why Hillel was able to say at the Simcha Beis HaSheva, Im ani kan, if I am here, hakol kan, everybody is here. What he meant was, my ani includes everybody. We have to expand our ani to include Klal Yisrael. And then it won't be so difficult to work on the Ahavas Yisrael. It seems hard. How can you love every Jew as your brother? But if you look at every other Jew as an extension of yourself, it's part of the I. Nobody says Lashon Hara about themselves. We have to feel we are ke'ish echad b'lev echad. We're one person. Then it's easy to feel that every Yid is our brother. So we mentioned 3 points in Sipisol Yeshua in waiting for salvation. Number one, to work on the avoida of tefillah. If we daven properly, we can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want the real avoida, not the substitute. The avoida on the Beis HaMikdash. The second one we mentioned is mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are dveikus b'Hashem, an attachment, hashroas hashchina. Through mitzvahs we can get close. We have to put effort into our mitzvahs, feeling, passion. There's a story of Rabbi Yitzchok Ivya, who wrote the Sefer Bris Olam. He lived at the time of the Vilna Gaon. And one time he was walking in a town far from his home. And while he was in the street, his tzitzis, the corner of his beged, got caught in something and ripped off the whole corner. His tzitzis became posel. So he did according to the halacha, right away in the middle of the street, he pulled off the beged, his posel. And now he doesn't have tzitzis to wear. He looks around for somebody Jewish. And finally he found an inn. He went running inside. And he asked the owner of the inn, do you have a pair of tzitzis? I need a pair of tzitzis. And he sees this man looks a little strange. He says, I can have some fun here, he thinks to himself. He says, yeah, I have tzitzis. He says, you have to pay for them. He says, how much do you want? So he says, 5 kopecks. It was a little high, the price. He says, no problem, I'll give it to you. So he says, you know what, I changed my mind. I want 10 kopecks. Please, 10, I'll give you 10. I've changed my mind, 5 rubles. 5 rubles? I'll give you 5 rubles. 10 rubles. 50 rubles I want for it. And so he says, no problem, give me the tzitzis. And he goes, he gets him a pair of tzitzis. 50 rubles was a fortune of money. Rabbi Yitzchak Ivya says to him, thank you so much. It's going to take me time to get 50 rubles together, you have to understand. The man says, no problem. And he thought, this guy is meshuggah. Rabbi Yitzchak Ivya left. He went back to his hometown. Sometime later, this innkeeper happened to be in the town of Rabbi Yitzchak Ivya. And he sees him. After davening, the gabbai gets up and he makes an announcement. He says, the Rav is selling his house. He's looking for 50 rubles. Is anybody interested in buying his house? There's a whole tumult, unsure. Why is he selling the house? So they found out because he has to pay this man for the tzitzis. What? They go to the man. Are you out of your mind? You try to sell our Rav tzitzis for 50 rubles? He says, I was just joking. I thought he was deranged. I didn't mean it. Chas v'sholom. I wouldn't take a penny from him. And so he goes over to the Rav and he begs the mechila. He says, I don't want money from you. And Rabbi Yitzchak says to him, what? You don't want money? I agreed to give for a mitzvah 50 rubles. You want to take that away from me? You can't. You have to take the money. And they fought about it until finally they came up with a compromise. And he paid him 5 rubles. That's what it means, hargosha, passion for mitzvahs. And then the third we said, tzipis leyeshua, is Ahavas Yisrael. It's caring about somebody else, not focusing on the I. I just saw a story recently that I think that brings us to the point about caring for others. There was a boy 9 years old, not so smart, putting it mildly. And his family had difficulty talking to him. They would get very frustrated. He didn't catch on to things. But his peers were cruel to him. They would make fun of him, call him a fool. You have no seichel. And his father was so proud. He had golden amidus. He never answered back. He ignored it every time. But one day his father sees a change in his son. That every time they start up with his son, they're insulting him. He's muttering under his breath. And he understands it's obviously too much for him. He hopes he'll stop soon. But it continues. And one day he approaches his son. And he says to his son, what changed? You used to never say anything and now you're saying something. So he says, I'll tell you what changed. One day I was reading the Sefer Aleinu L'Shabeach. And I saw a story of a couple who had no children. It's a famous story. And they went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and they said, we want to have a child, what should we do? And Reb Chaim Kanievsky said to them, Hanelovim ve'enom olvim. People who are insulted and they don't respond. They have a tremendous chus. Find somebody who has just been insulted to the nth degree and is about to respond. And at that moment, get a bracha from that person. Instead of him insulting, let him give you a bracha, and that will get you your children. And they found, there was a whole story how they found such a person, they got the bracha, and they had the child. And the boy said, I read that. I was so inspired. I thought to myself, wow, I have such an opportunity. It's unbelievable. People insult me the whole time. Look what I can do. I can give people brachas. But there was a little problem. Nobody was coming to me for brachas. What do I do now? So I had to come up with something. So I thought to myself, you know what? I listened in shul when they say in the Shabbarachs. And I listened over and over again. And bit by bit, I learned the names of all the sick people by heart. And then, every time somebody insults me, I take that opportunity. I feel so good about it. And I'm espalled for all the sick people. And he says, it gives me such a geschmack. That is somebody whose eyes expanded to include all of Klal Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is now over. It's over. We have to still remember. It's not over. The Beis HaMikdash is not built. We have to be waiting, like we said at the beginning. Ki nefesh hu chayvel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot take a mashkan if it's your nefesh that is taken away. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to return it. We have to feel it's our life that's at stake over here. There's a story of a Kalina Chosid who is going to Daven. And his little boy says to him, Tati, I want to come with you. And he says, no, you're not old enough yet. Wait still. And the mother says, no, he so much wants to go. Take him along. And the boy says, yeah, I'll behave, I'll be good. He says, okay, I'll take you. He takes the boy to shul. And this little boy is davening next to him. And the boy sits there patiently the whole davening. Gets to Shema Yisrael, the father davens, and the whole shul is davening. The shul finishes Shema Yisrael. The father is still davening. They finish Chazaras HaShatz. The father is still davening. They finish the whole Shachris. The father is still davening. And the boy looks around. There's nobody there. Everybody's left. And he says to his father, Tati, ich will aheim gehen. Tati, nimm mir aheim. Father, take me home. I want to go home. And then he realized that's not called behaving. He realized he'd done something wrong and he kept quiet. His father finished davening, took his talis and tefillin, and he went home with his son. When they got to the door, the mother was so excited to see them. She had a candy waiting for the boy. She gave him the candy. And then she said, no, how was it? And the boy was waiting for the other shoe to drop. What's the father going to say? And the father said, I davened my best davening ever. And the boy just doesn't understand. What do you mean? And the father says, I was up to with the Rishlayim Eruchai, tells his wife. And at that moment, Shlomi turns to me and he says to me, Tati, ich will aheim gehen. Tati, nemmer aheim. I want to go home. And that's what I was thinking. Yerushalayim urcha berachamim toshov. We want to go home to Yerushalayim. We should take these messages to heart. To peace, Elisha, wait for salvation. Mr. Shem will be zecher to the good of Shlomo. Imhera v'yameinu, amen.